It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Congress is trying to figure out how to improve air travel. From Marketplace, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer in for David Brancaccio. Airlines say shortages of pilots and air traffic controllers have contributed to flight delays and cancellations. The House yesterday took a first crack at dealing with these issues with a bill that passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
The House bill, which funds the Federal Aviation Administration, would raise the mandatory retirement age for commercial pilots from 65 to 67. For regional carriers, that means more experienced pilots who can train newcomers. The bill also provides more money to hire air traffic controllers. The Transportation Department wants to add 1,800 next year. The Senate is considering a similar bill, but is not as far along. One holdup has been on the question of whether to ease pilot training requirements. The House bill rejected that idea. Washington has until October 1st to reauthorize funding for the FAA. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Turkey's central bank has been an outlier when it comes to fighting inflation. It did not raise interest rates like almost everywhere else. Now, with a new finance minister and central bank governor, things are changing. Victoria Craig reports from Ankara.
Rates are rising in a country led by a president famous for his objection to using them to fight inflation. But the pace is not as fast as perhaps some would like. The country's benchmark interest rate this week rose to 17.5% from 15%. That was a much smaller rise than both economists and local businesses predicted. And it's led some to question how far the president will allow the central bank to go in its fight against inflation. In the past, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has called interest rates the mother and father of all evil. The central bank's gradual move higher comes as the finance ministry rolls out its own policies aimed at cooling consumer demand. Taxes on a range of goods have risen in recent weeks. In the long run, that could work toward the common goal of bringing prices down. In the short run, though, it makes goods more expensive for households already finding it difficult to afford basic necessities. In Ankara, Turkey, I'm Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
This week, our sibling program Marketplace Tech has been reporting on artificial intelligence in the workplace. Goldman Sachs released a report earlier this year. It predicted AI advances could expose about 300 million jobs worldwide to automation. Will this be a net positive or negative for the workforce? Megan McCarty-Carino is the host of Marketplace Tech. She spoke with David Brancaccio.
Look, economists are debating this. Maybe in the long run, there'll be net many more better jobs because of this technology. Or maybe not, but no one says it's not going to be disruptive. How worried should workers be?
For some context, this Goldman Sachs report that, you know, says hundreds of millions of jobs will be exposed to automation in the near future doesn't mean all those jobs are going to be lost. There will be some shuffling. There will be new jobs. We really wanted to ground our reporting this week in how people are using these tools in their work right now. What can that tell us about, you know, the potential for new jobs, kind of the limits of this tech, and how we might realistically see this play out in the near term?
All right. So not start date 2153.7, but, you know, now 2023.
Right.
I mean, what kinds of workers are feeling the effects of this AI technology already?
Well, one industry that's getting a lot of attention is customer service. Researchers at Stanford and MIT studied, you know, the rollout of a chatbot that's already happened to sort of assist human agents in answering common customer questions. Lindsay Raymond is one of the co-authors, and she said, this is sort of a case of AI augmenting work, not automating it.
When you think about history of technology, which technologies have been super impactful. A lot of those are augmentation technologies where, like, you have a tractor, and what a tractor does is you have a human sit on top of it, and it makes you far more powerful than you would be alone.
And Raymond says, on average, this approach increased the number of cases resolved each hour by about 14%.
Yeah, and I saw that study. It was fascinating in the sense that the people with the least training benefited the
right.
most. So if you think about that.
It sort of brings that, people up to a certain level.
All right. Now, you know, businesses are saying it's going to help people with better tools be more productive. But if with a new tool, one person can do the job of five people, then maybe four could
right.
lose.
You know, these things take time to sort of percolate through the system. We spoke to a longtime copywriter and consultant, Carrie Harrison, who said, you know, she's already seeing some businesses using ChatGPT to fully generate their promotional materials. Maybe businesses that wouldn't have been able to afford an experienced copywriter like her or are okay with kind of average, very predictable text, which is, you know, by design, what these chatbots generate. Harrison said that her business hasn't been affected and that, you know, she's been using these tools. They've actually made her a better writer.
I just don't think there's any room now for mediocre, lazy copywriting. We have to be able to distinguish ourselves from ChatGPT.
Still, you know, Harrison, she's been in the business for 20 years. And when she thinks about younger workers just trying to break in, she acknowledges, you know, things could look very different.
Marketplace Tech host Megan McCarty-Carino, thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
This special series from Marketplace Tech, AI on the Job, is now available at marketplace.org or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.